the International Atomic Energy Agency has described nuclear fusion as something similar to how the sun and stars are powered in the atmosphere, so that when two atomic nuclei combine, it releases massive amounts of energy, and the reaction could be a source for lots of carbon-free energy. Nuclear fusion research in Australia is at its infancy, while in the US, a private venture of $10 billion is bound to accelerate research on the technology. Racers Edge reporter Thomas Kutis spoke to Professor of Mathematical Sciences and Computing at the Australian National University, Matthew Hall, to make sense of what fusion technology is all about.
So start by telling us what fusion power is.
So fusion is the process that powers the sun. Fusion is the process of combining light ions or light atoms together. Reaction which combines hydrogen together to form helium, heavier isotopes of hydrogen, and these are both very energy-make reactions, so they produce a lot of energy.
So I understand that there's been some promising signs for production of these fusion-powered reactors, which could be going forward in the energy sector. Would it be correct to say, or have we ended up in a dead end?
No, I'd say there's been lots of progress, both in terms of science and technology development. Certainly cutting-edge experiments have demonstrated that the scientific basis for ITER seems relatively sound, which is this next-step fusion experiment. And big experiments, particularly the W7 accelerator in Germany, are demonstrating it is possible to operate at high performance in a stellarator configuration. There's also been technology advances in high-temperature superconducting, the advent of AI, which is helping all areas of science, and materials that can withstand high heat fluxes are providing renewed enthusiasm that fusion may be able to produce power. It's a question of timescale.
The US investors have invested close to $10 billion for fusion energy, while China and Europe are ramping up its efforts. Do you think Australia should consider this idea too and invest in it?
The US US government funds a Department of Energy program, which funds the US fusion program at about $500 billion a year, US dollars. And there is significant development in the private sector space with, for example, Commonwealth Fusion Systems. And there's also been a rise in China and Europe. In both China and Europe's case, that's on the back of already strong domestic funding. Australia operates off fumes, effectively, certainly in a public research space. It operates by a handful of individuals working primarily in universities, both in schools of mathematics and physics schools, but the scale is very much smaller. It would be wonderful to have as an Australian activity that at least connects with the international program substantively and tries to engage fully. I don't think Australia should necessarily build its own fusion experiment because that would be extremely expensive, but it could certainly participate much more effectively than it does now.
As we're going through a time of climate change, Australia's idea for transitioning to a cleaner planet is using solar panels, wind turbines, electric vehicles, etc. Is it practical to keep considering that plan?
Well, Australia has a large land area with a large amount of sunshine, and it is blessed with renewable energy options, so of course it would make sense. My comment would be more that for the world to address climate change, it needs for the world collectively to address climate change. It's no good if Australia does this in isolation. It needs the entire planet to do it. And so nuclear will be part of that solution globally. And so Australia should participate at least in supporting to some level research demonstration and perhaps deployment in areas where it can have some competitive value, in particular uranium mining. I guess I'm thinking in the first instance an efficient space. But, you know, longer term, things like fusion would supply a large amount of electricity to the grid, and it would be remiss of Australia to ignore an opportunity to at least be engaged and maintain sovereign capability in that space and maximise opportunities into the future. But to answer your first question, is Australia's mix for its domestic policy based on renewable energy. Does that make sense? It kind of does. I won't comment on whether Australia should deploy nuclear power locally. I think it needs to be deployed globally in order to make any dent at all into reining in fossil fuel emissions.
And there's also been talks about green hydrogen, which has been on the spotlight for some time. What are your thoughts on that?
So green hydrogen, so I guess you're burning hydrogen to form water. That makes sense. You still have to form the hydrogen somehow. So in some sense, you're pushing the problem back to, it's a fuel storage device, in some ways a battery. You have to generate the hydrogen. So it still requires an energy-intensive process to do it. And so, you know, that could be renewably powered, but it also could be powered by large-scale nuclear. So I think the one thing I would say is that no country should rule off any energy technology for reasons that are based on purely on ideology. So at the moment, Australia has a comprehensive nuclear ban, at least on power deployment. That is illogical. That shouldn't stand. You should not rule out any energy technology based on a piece of ideology. You should base it on economics, for sure, environmental impact, for sure, whether or not it's going to be accepted by the community, but not on a piece of ideology.
And I understand that there's a project called the ITER project, which is a project which will demonstrate fusion energy. Talk to us a bit about what this project is all about.
So that project is designed to demonstrate the scientific and technical feasibility of fusion as an energy source. So it won't produce net power. It will produce about 500 megawatts of fusion power with about 50 megawatts of external heating. And what it's intended to do is to demonstrate that you can operate in this so-called burning plasma regime where most of the energy is being driven by the particles of reaction. So it's a predominantly self-heated plasma, and it's designed to demonstrate that you can do this scientifically, and it's also to integrate various different technologies together, as well as in the longer term, demonstrate how to breed tritium, because tritium is one of the fuel ingredients, and you need to generate that, and one can do so by activation of lithium. So it's to integrate various different technologies, and it's also to demonstrate scientifically that you can do this and model and understand it properly. It is a tokamak, so it's one class of toroidal magnetic confinement device. There are others, such as the Stellarator, which is a whole class of toroidal magnetic confinement configurations that may, in the long term, be better for power generation. But in terms of scientific proof of principle, ITER is a significant project that's going forward, and it's supported by about 35 nations and alliances around the planet.
And as you said, that fusion is under research at the moment as a research project. When can we expect for this project to happen?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, I think probably the best pathway or the best guidance that one can give is based on the ITER timeline. And the reason why I say that is because ITER is going to be demonstrated technology. So a conservative timeline would be to use the ITER timeline, and ITER hopes to operate in DT plasmas, toward which is plasmas that will generate the self-burn, towards the end of the 2030s, and that would hopefully generate sufficient confirmation of knowledge to envisage power plants towards the middle of the century. So that's a conservative timeline. I think that's probably a realistic timeline. There are lots of private companies that think that they can do this much faster, and that's good luck to them for at least positing that they can do this on a much faster timescale. Fusion is hard, so whether or not they can accomplish this is an open question. I would say that bringing additional innovation to, when I say innovation, they're addressing lots of different approaches and techniques to try and achieve fusion. These companies do bring some innovation to the space. They de-risk by exploring high temperature superconducting technologies. So they do add value. Whether or not they can achieve their objectives of doing this on a 5 or 10 year timescale, I think is extremely ambitious.
Professor of Mathematical Sciences and Computing at the Australian National University, Matthew Hall, speaking there with Razor's Edge reporter Thomas Kutis, and ending that interview.